Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast featuring Linda Bork, a champion of personal transformation and a beacon of hope, healing, and happiness. Overcoming depression, anxiety, trauma, and self-doubt, Linda now leads a life filled with joy and authenticity. As the founder of the Hope for Healing nonprofit and host of Linda's Corner podcast, she empowers others to conquer their challenges from childhood trauma to poor health and beyond. Linda's journey from battling self-limiting beliefs to becoming a best-selling author and personal development expert exemplifies the power of overcoming. Today, she shares her insights on not just surviving, but thriving, guiding listeners toward reclaiming their stories and finding genuine happiness. Join us as Linda illuminates the path to personal growth and transformation, providing that with hope and determination. We can all be champions of our own lives. Linda, it is great to have you today. How are you?
Fantastic, Sherman. I'm so happy to be here, and I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, likewise. Like, you are such a joyous person. Like, you have great energy. So when I read about you, I was like, wow, how did that person that went through all of this become the person that she is today? I'm sure it was a journey.
Interesting. Life doesn't have to be perfect to be wonderful. We can go through hard things and come out on top and be okay. And I think that matters because we all go through hard things. And sometimes when we're in a hard thing, it feels, oh, this stinks and I'm stuck here forever. This is my lot in life and there's nothing I can do about it. And that is a very hopeless kind of feeling. And that's the kind of feeling we really want to get away from and realize we have power to do something about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So with that being said, Linda, where did you grow up and how was childhood for you?
Oh, what an excellent question. So let's get into the things. I am in the United States. I'm in the Intermountain West. I'm in Utah. And my parents are fantastic people. They are really great. And when I was about 6 years old, my parents endured an emotional trauma that just flattened them, especially my mother. And it changed everything. And so from my point of view, it was all of a sudden, they did not love me. They did not want me. They did not want anything to do with me. And the trauma wasn't actually about me, but because of the nature of things, I was a trigger. And so really, truly, there were walls and nobody wanted me. So as I grew up, if I was an adult, and I might look and say, these poor people, they're going through a hard time and I should have compassion for them. But I was a little kid. And so the only thing that I could figure out is I did something really bad. I have no idea what it was. But I'm bad. I broke my parents, Sherman. I broke them. Mm-hmm. And that I am unlovable. I am unwanted. I'm not good enough. I'm basically garbage. And that kind of belief went with me through forever, for decades. And as you grow older, those things that we keep and we decided as kids, they're still part of us. Mm-hmm. And for me, because my parents are awesome, my message was, even the nicest people in the world can't love you. I am that bad. I am below the worst, where even the nicest people just can't have me. And so growing up feeling that way, I felt like, gosh, man, I am not good enough. I'm garbage. If anybody knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. And so you build that little mask, that facade that says, hey, I'm going to try to be something that Sherman will like, because if he knew the real me, he would know that I am not lovable. So I call that being broken, and you can function being broken. I know a lot of people who function being broken. And then later on, I had experiences that just crushed me. And that was some of the traumas that I have experienced. And I'll just share a couple if that's okay.
Yeah, no, go. I was actually going to suggest you share the traumas.
I know, right? Because they're interesting. So my husband is a pilot, and we were flying a little two-person experimental airplane, and we heard this big explosion in the engine, and we didn't know what exactly was going on, but the plane was shaking so bad, it felt like it was just going to fall to the ground. And smoke is pouring out of everything, and oil is pooling at my feet like blood. And it's obvious that we are not going to make it to a runway. And so he brought it down on a road, and then a car passing by picked him up so he could go get a truck and a trailer so we could start putting things back together. And I waited with the plane because I thought probably some police would show up eventually. And I got 7 emergency vehicles eventually, and they're all gathered around and lights are flashing, and they're trying to figure out, who do we call, who do we notify, what do we do? And I was shaking so bad, and I was trying to make small talk, and I was talking to one of the police officers, and I said, so is this the first time you picked up a plane by the side of the road? And he said, no, but it is the first time I've ever seen survivors.
Oh wow.
And I thought, that did not help me calm down. I was still shaking so bad. So that's one thing. I've also had my mouth wired shut for 6 weeks while my broken jaw was healing. And during that time, I couldn't speak. I couldn't eat. I could only drink through a straw. I have also arrived at the scene of a motorcycle accident in time to see my son's broken body lying in the middle of an intersection, surrounded by flashing lights and personnel. He should have died, but he didn't, fortunately. He had to have a few surgeries to put him back together. Some of his injuries included breaking both legs. He was bedridden for 8 weeks, and he had to learn how to walk again. Another time, I took my teenage daughter in for some corrective surgery, just basic outpatient surgery. And after the surgery was done, the doctor said, a little bleeding at the site of the surgery is normal. Don't worry about it. But if there's blood clots or a fever, give us a call. So I bring her home, put her to bed, and then every like 20 minutes or so, I peek in to see if she's doing okay. And she's fine. She's just sleeping. A couple hours pass and I get a text. I'm in the kitchen and it's my daughter. And she said, hey, mom, can you come into my room? And I said, yeah, of course. So I ran in. I said, hey, you're awake. How are you doing? Sherman, she did not answer me with words. She threw off the covers and she was soaked in blood from her chest all the way down to her feet.
Oh, my God.
And I cannot find words adequate to describe the shock, the horror, the panic, and the guilt, because I had been watching her the whole time. And I had no idea that she was bleeding to death right under my nose.
Right.
We rushed her to the emergency room where they were able to find the problem and stop the bleeding. Eventually, we were able to come home, and I had to strip all the sheets and all the blankets, and I put them in the washing machine. And as the water filled up, it was like it was bathed in a sea of blood. And I just leaned over the washer and I just cried. It was awful. The same beautiful daughter years later developed brain cancer. And it's a strange kind of cancer that can't be affected by a chemo or radiation, only by surgery. And it's in her pituitary. And they did surgery up her nose to try to clean it out. They couldn't get all of it because it's wrapped around her carotid artery. And so they did the best they could. And I almost lost her 3 times within a month period with different complications of the surgery. It was terrifying. And she still has that in her today. We just have to watch it. I also have been woken in the middle of the night with a phone call that my beautiful 9-month-old grandson had a seizure. He was gray and lifeless and probably wouldn't make it through the night. They life flighted him to Primary Children's Hospital. From there, they did 2 surgeries. They had to figure out what the problem was. The first, they found it was hydrocephalus, which is when the fluid that's in your brain does not, it's not able to drain down your spinal cord. And so it just fills and fills the pressure in your head. And it actually expanded his little skull. So they drilled a hole to allow some of the fluid to escape. And then later, they did a surgery where they drilled another hole through the top of his little head, went down through between the hemispheres of his brain to try to ream out a little hole so that things could drain properly. And we were very fortunate that the surgery was successful, but he had already by that time sustained brain damage, and half of his body doesn't work very well. And so that's something that we still have. I have another beautiful grandchild who developed a little, just a strange swelling in his foot. And it was like, it's no big deal. Just take him into the doctor. I'm sure everything will be fine. It wasn't fine. It was cancer. And so we have had so many things, And Sherman, I got to a point of trying to deal with so much stuff that I couldn't handle it. And I fell into depression. And it was like sliding into a deep, dark pit of despair, where it was so deep that sunlight and hope and happiness could not reach me. And there were no doors and there were no windows in this dark place. And I could not see any way out. I thought, this is my new reality. This is as good as it gets. And I'm going to be miserable for as long as I live. And it was beyond sadness. It was beyond emptiness. It was misery, where every day I just wished, can I please just die? Please, anything to stop this pain. And I was in that place for about 5 years, up and down, things come and go, but almost no one knew, because I was very good at masking and pretending that everything was okay. And about this time, my sister, who was training to be a life coach, she contacted me and said, hey, I'm planning this women's retreat, and I'm going to be teaching people how to be happy and how to live this fulfilled life. And do you want to come? And I thought, no, heck no. I was struggling with social anxiety. I couldn't handle being around other people. And besides, I was stuck in a deep, dark hole with no windows and no doors. There was nothing that she was going to say that was going to make any difference. So why bother? And yet, even though I didn't want to go, the idea just wouldn't leave my head. And eventually I said, okay, I'll go. And I'm so glad that I did, because that decision helped change my life. It is very much as if my sister lowered a ladder down into my deep, dark hole and showed me a way to climb out. And that has made all the difference. And so because of my experiences dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety, dealing with traumas, dealing with life is hard, dealing with feelings of I'm not good enough, I'm not wanted, all of these kinds of things, and knowing that you can heal and you can be happy and you can have an authentic joy is just, it's a message I just want to shout from the rooftop. And so I want to offer a ladder to anyone who feels stuck, who feels discouraged, who feels like this is my life and there's nothing I can do about it. So that is why I do what I do.
Wow. It's crazy. My childhood best friend died in a motorcycle accident. Motorcycle accidents, more than likely somebody's dying. Two childhood best friends died in motorcycle accidents, and it affected me badly. So I'm just thinking about all of these things. I'm like, wow, they're miracles that they made it out and that they're still here. But it's just because they're miracles does not mean that there's not an underlying trauma for going through the process and things like that. Because some people are like, wow, you're blessed. But then it still haunts me seeing my son with broken bones and with tubes in them and laying in the hospital and, you know, there for 8 weeks and you having to go there and make sure he's okay and checking on your daughter and seeing the blood. Like, those are miracles, but it's still trauma that I feel like people, they just don't process it. You know what I mean? It's not they don't process it, they just ignore it. And it's okay, well, I'm gonna just focus on at least they're here. But then there's the traumas are still underlying. And you probably are one of the first people that has admitted that even though I survived the plane accident, it still messed me up in a kind of way.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And then as soon as you said the oil was at your feet, I was like, ooh, I know that oil was hot. I know it wasn't room temperature. Yeah. That is, I flew actually in a two-person plane before, and it is scary. So I was just like, wow, while you were talking, it was just all coming to me. And yeah, I actually like that. And one term that you said that really hit was authentic joy. Like, how many of us have authentic joy? Because some people will say, oh, why aren't you smiling in the picture? Why aren't you? Because I'm like, I don't smile unless I really feel joy at the moment, or else it's not going to come across as authentic. So if I'm laughing or if I'm joking or whatever, okay, yeah, it's authentic joy. But sometimes if I don't feel it, it's not going to resonate in the right way. And people have a mask. It's okay, I'm ready to take a picture. I'm going to act like I'm happy. And then I'm going to go back to the regular me. And I'm more so like, why don't you just, you know, try to be authentically happy? You know, attempt that, like work on that more instead of just, okay, I'm going to pretend like it is because I want everybody else to think that I feel this way. You know, I'm going to hold this face. And I feel like what that leads like to a deeper depression to me, because it's like the reason why people drink. It's okay, you're drinking because you want to feel authentically happy. But why do we have to drink to feel this way? Why do we have to drink to have a good time? Why do we need to do this to be? And it's kind of wild. We have to think about the internal. And it's a blessing that you were able to go to the workshop with your sister and receive that. It's okay, now I have somebody focused. What was the name of the company? I probably heard about it, if you don't mind sharing.
Which company?
The workshop that you went to.
I can't remember the name of my sister's. I don't think she had a name for her company at that time, but it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, it was her workshop or a company that she dealt with.
No,
oh,
no, no.
It was hers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, I'm sure like you developed, got the tools that could basically help you move on and things right. like that. So that's such a good thing. Because yeah, like I couldn't imagine. I'm thinking about my mother and she has grandchildren. I'm like, man, I probably would have tore her up if she went through some of the things that she went through. Yeah. But honestly, I was not expecting that based off of like our interactions before. So I'm going to tell you, like, you're doing a great job with whatever you're doing, how you're doing, what you're doing. You're doing an awesome job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when we see people, we assume, wow, they're happy. And it looks like everything must be going really well for them. Like they must have this incredible life where everything just goes the way that they want it to. And we figure that our happiness comes from our circumstances. So if things are going well, then that makes us happy. And if things are bad, then that means we have to be sad and miserable. And that the good part is we don't have to be dependent on our circumstances to be able to have joy, to be able to have fulfillment. It doesn't mean that we're never going to go through hard things, because hard things happen. But if we build up our resilience, then we can bounce back. So if you have a bouncy ball, a rubber ball, and you drop it, it bounces right back up. But if you drop an egg, it's going to go down once and then fall apart because it's now squished on the floor. So we want to be so that we are resilient and we are able to handle whatever challenges come our way. And you know what? If we have a little dip, I definitely had a dip, then there's a way to pull back from that as well.
Yeah. And life is going to do that too.
For
I'm
sure.
The type of person that's crazy that'll like put myself through challenges just to build that resilience.
So you like to ask for hard things. Bring me more hard things to see
yeah,
if I
can. Yeah, because it's like, because that makes you stronger. I was a kid. riding bikes like far in the neighborhood. Like, I heard there was a park over here. Let's ride our bike all the way there. And some kids will follow me and some will be like, hell no, I'm going back home. This is too far. But even if you drive there, it's like a push. Wow, this is like on the other side of the neighborhood. But I was like, no, we're going to make it. Let's go. So I always had that internal push that I would do. And I do that till this day. I do Spartan races. I pay to go through hard stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just to say that I did it and just to have the medal, but woo, I accomplished it.
It does. It feels really good when we're able to do some hard things, to be able to, like you say, you're doing your Spartan race, you're doing something hard, and there's something about it that just feels like satisfaction, accomplishment, like I did something hard. And the cool thing is we can have that same kind of feeling that we just experienced getting through our life experiences. We don't have to ask for extra hard things. We can just get through hard things. Some people think, if you watched a movie, we're so excited when the hero overcomes some hard challenge. And yet a lot of people feel like in their lives that they just want everything to go smooth and easy. And if it doesn't, then it's, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? And so there's a disconnect. And it sounds like you don't have it. You're like, bring it on. But for a lot of people, they feel panicked. They feel afraid of the challenges of life, of things that can come, and that something might be hard. So I don't want to do anything at all. Just let me crawl under my covers and stay at home. Well, we don't have to be afraid. We can be happy. We can be joyful. We can get through it. We can get through hard things.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a lot. This podcast is about you, but if I talk about my childhood, I'm so used to hard things, anguish. You look at the title Militant Grind, I was built to be that type of person growing up in a military style household. So yeah, we definitely, but then I also have a story. Like, kind of like this lady reminded me of, you guys look the same, blue eyes, blonde hair, both women. So I went to a self-help conference, right? And this lady was with her daughter. She was smiling. She was happy. And I was like, wow, she must have it good in life. Like, she's just so vibrant and excited. And she just had wonderful energy. And so then we get a chance to talk about ourselves and our past and things like that to the whole seminar or whatever. And so she went up there. And she spoke about the things that she went through in her life. And I was just like, what? Like, how? I just couldn't believe it. She told me that she was just a kid, so used to her mother being drunk and laying in the bed, and her mother didn't attend to her and her father wasn't there. And it was just all of this stuff going on. And I was just like, wow, like, I basically made assumptions on this woman's life based off of like how she presented herself to us now. You know what I mean? But that does not mean that she didn't go through anything in her life. And I felt like a lot of us see people and be like, oh, you must be this because you're like this now. But everybody has a story. And with my opportunity to connect with people all over the world with the podcast, I'm just like, wow, man, like, a lot of us are really ignorant to other people and how other people live. Some people are fortunate, but a lot of people go through stuff that are like, it's considered trauma and pretty tough.
I know, right? And so if we could consider other people that you see and think, you know what, I don't know what their challenge is, but I know there's something. And then we had compassion for people rather than just judging them, right? Man, we'd get along so much better. And when you talk about trauma, there's different levels, different kinds of trauma, like someone, we can call it trauma with a capital T and trauma with a small T. So some people, if you're going through a war, if you're going through something like cancer or abuse or something, anyone who hears that story is going to know this person dealt with a trauma. And some of our traumas might not from the outside look like that much, but it can still hurt us on the inside. You can still die from 1,000 tiny wounds. So even the people that you think, oh, they have it good, they probably do. Their traumas might be those traumas with a little T. Anyway, so everybody's got something.
And then it's also all relative as well. Yeah, because some things that'll break somebody else probably wouldn't break me, and then vice versa.
I know, right? Sometimes you hear somebody's problem and you think, that's it, really? But for them, it's so huge. It's all they can see.
And then you're looking at it like, man, my kids almost died. This is nothing. Yeah. And so when you're dealing with people, well, okay, so not we're not gonna go there yet. But so when after the seminar, how was it for you? What did you start to see about yourself that helped you move forward with some of the things that happened to you?
What an excellent question. And I do have to say that it was not like an immediate change. Woohoo, I'm all better. I
Right.
found that authentic healing is not like flipping on a light switch where all of a sudden everything goes from black to white. It is more like a sunrise where things are gradual and they change from moment to moment. And the change might be imperceptible even until a little time passes and it's, oh, now it's light. Now I can see. Now everything is okay. So I don't want to give the impression that it was a simple one moment fixes everything. Some of the things that I learned were my own contributions into the way that I was feeling, that it wasn't, I'm helpless and everything is just happening to me. It is the way that I think, the way that I interpret the thoughts that I have. And I did not like hearing that at all because it was like, really? I mean, my life sucks. And you're telling me that this is my fault? I mean, it made me mad and I was angry. And one of the metaphors that they used is if you plant seeds, what the kind of seeds you plant determines the kind of plant that will grow. If you plant tomato seeds, you're going to get tomato plants. If you plant wheat seeds, you're going to get wheat. And that thoughts are the same way. The kind of thoughts that we plant in our mind grow. Am I growing something that's good or am I growing something that's bad? And I thought, damn, that makes sense. And I hated it so bad because then it meant that I had some responsibility with the way that things were, and I couldn't just blame it on my circumstances. Some of the things that we've learned and that I've fine-tuned and learned since is that there are things that we can do that change the physiology in our body, which is very important because our emotions are chemical. Right? Our body chemistry affects the way that we feel. And then the way that we feel affects what we think and do and say. But the good news is it's a cycle. What we do and say and think affects our body chemistry. So when we're struggling with something like depression, it is chemical, whether it starts as an imbalance in our brain or whether through our circumstances it ends up sending us down that rabbit hole. But eventually, it always becomes chemical. It is an imbalance in the brain and it affects the way that you feel. And so, learning that there's something that I can do that helps change the chemistry in the body that will help me feel better and feel less stressed was so empowering because then there's something that I can do. Can I share just a couple of tips? I've got a 5 morning routine. Okay. So let me give you just a quick example of one way that we can change our body chemistry. And they're small, simple action steps. So for example, I've created this little morning routine. It's called MW, 5 minutes. I'll explain what to do, and then I'll explain why it works. So the first M is music. You pick a song, something that you love, something that makes you want to sing, something that makes you want to dance. That's your timer. Most songs are between 3 and 4 minutes long. During that timer, you do the second M, which is movement. You move your body. It can be traditional exercises, or it can be shadow boxing or Tai Chi, or my favorite is just to dance. Or if you are not in the mood to move your body, you can just move your mouth and sing. Then, when the song is done, that part's finished, time for the W's. The first W, words. Grab a notebook and a pen and write 5 things that you're grateful for. The last W is water. Drink a bottle of water. Whole thing takes 5 minutes, you're on your way. Now, let me explain all of the things that can happen if you invest in those 5 minutes. First of all, music is one of the most powerful tools that we have to affect our mood and the way that we feel. Music can make us happy. Music can make us sad. Music can make us excited, or it affects the way that we feel. And research shows that our brain waves actually synchronize somewhat to the beat of the music, which we can use in different ways. So if we're feeling anxious, if we listen to calming, ordered music, it can literally help our brain be able to calm down and feel more ordered and organized so that we can think. If we're struggling with depression, motivation is what I was struggling with, because I don't want to do anything, I don't feel good. then listening to positive, upbeat music can literally help jumpstart your brain into action so that we can get up and we can move. That's why people have playlists when you go jogging, because it improves your performance. It helps you be able to move and do. So music, super powerful. The next thing is movement. When we move our bodies, it increases our energy. So we're able to handle the whatever challenges we have through the day because we have more energy. We're able to do more. It also acts as a stress reducer, and it helps to relax muscles. It changes the chemistry in our body a little bit. It lowers the chemicals that are stress hormones called cortisol, and it increases the feel-good hormones like the serotonin, dopamine, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's doing all of these things while you're moving your body. And also, of course, it helps us to be healthier. Another thing that it can do is we have different systems in our body. One is called our, oh, now my brain is shutting down. Oh, I'm going to skip that part and go on to the next one. So then we have our, so let's see, music and movement. Okay, I was going to talk about singing too. So singing can do some of the same benefits that the exercise does. Actually, it also helps to lower our stress chemicals and us increases the feel-good chemicals in our brain. And researchers have noticed that it actually helps with depression. There was a study done where they took a group of people who are struggling with depression and anxiety. And the only thing that they asked them to change was to sing a song, just sing every day. So they had a control group, don't change a thing, keep doing what you're doing, study group, sing. Then 30 days later, they brought them together to see if it made any difference. The control group was exactly the same way that they were before. The group that had added singing had significantly lower levels of depression and anxiety. And the only thing that they changed was singing. So it is an incredibly powerful tool to change the way that we feel. And get into the W's. Words. Gratitude. Gratitude is so incredibly powerful in the way that it changes the physiology in our body. Research has shown that if you're in a state of gratitude, it actually improves the neuroplasticity of the brain, which is our brain's ability to adapt to change, which is the very definition of resilience. Also, when we're in a state of gratitude, it helps to stimulate the prefrontal cortex area of the brain, which is the part of where we do our conscious decision-making, and so it can actually help us to make better decisions and choices because we're not just acting reflexively, we're able to think about it. It also improves depression. Another study was done. They took a group of people struggling with depression, and they said, hey, we want you to write down every day three things that went well. They came back after 2 weeks to say, hey, did it make any difference? And they found that 94% of participants had a significantly lower level of depression and anxiety by focusing on gratitude. It changes our focus. It changes what we notice. It changes what we see, and it changes what we feel. So it is incredibly important. And then the last W of water, every system in our body requires water to function properly. And for example, our brain is about 73% water. And research shows that if we're dehydrated as little as 1%, it begins to negatively impact our mood and our brain function. And so drinking enough water and staying hydrated is one of the simplest, cheapest things that we can do to help with our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So you get all of these things, all of these benefits in 5 minutes. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes consistency. So if you do it once, you're going to have a better day. But if you do it every day, it'll change your life. It'll change the chemistry in your body so that you feel better. You feel less stressed. You're able to handle your problems better. You're able to be more resilient. You're able to move forward. And if you're stuck in a deep, dark hole like I was, it might take a while to get up there. But it works. And then after you're up and you're in the sunlight and things are well, then maintaining something as simple as this can help us to be able to be in a good place. So when the next thing happens from life, we're in a better place and we don't dip as far. You don't have to fall into a deep, dark hole. You just have a bad day. And then the next day, you're okay again. So there are so many things that we can do, small, simple action steps that change the way that we feel. And it does it on a chemical, physiological level, which is so cool. Sometimes we separate things like, oh, here's our physical health, here's our mental health, here's our emotional health, here's our spiritual health or whatever. But the truth is, everything is all combined and it's all interrelated. And when we help fix one thing, it helps fix something else. So it's really cool because we realize we have power and it's so easy.
Yeah, and we're not victims. I went to a seminar and they told me the same thing. The reason why you're going through this is your fault. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's my fault. Like, how is it my fault? Like, I'm a good person. And, da, da, da. And then it's, nah, man, you really can't control what goes on in your life as long as you can control what goes on in your mind. You know what I mean? And it's so funny how that happens because I see myself not reacting to things that I used to react to. And after I think about it, I'm like, man, like last year, you probably would have blew smoke up that person. You know what I mean? Like you probably would have snapped and yelled, but I'm just like, I'm controlling it now. Now I'm not going to let that person get to me. I know what they're doing. I know what this is about. So why would I be the fool and keep falling into this trap over and over? No, bro, control yourself. No, don't let that get in your mind. You already know what it's about. And it's funny that you say that because when you're in that depression, you are a victim to yourself and your mind. So it's like, how am I supposed to, God, why did you do this to me? Why can't I? Don't I deserve better? Why is this happening to me? But then it's not more so, why is it happening? Why is it happening to you? It's more so, why are you responding in this kind of way?
Yeah, and that's not what you want to hear because dang, I just like everything to happen nicely. But the truth is everybody has bad days. Stuff happens to everybody. So when we say, why me? It's why not you? It's happening to everybody else. It's just, we just have different things that happen. And we know what's happening to us because we're front and center on this stage. But we don't know what's happening to other people. And we don't all have the same problem at the same time. You might see someone that's looking good. Maybe they had their problem last year or yesterday, or maybe it's coming next week. We don't know. We just don't know.
Exactly. And I remember telling people like that will talk about celebrities and things like that. Oh, this celebrity, they got money and this. And I'll be like, man, you don't know. They like, if you don't see it, one thing that my uncle told me that was probably one of the most powerful things I've ever learned in my life. He said that if I don't see it with my own eyes, it doesn't exist to me. He was like, you could tell me that my wife was with another man. You could tell me whatever. If I didn't see it with my own eyes, it did not happen. And I was like, what? At first. But now this was like almost 9 years ago. And now I'm looking at it like this man is really controlling what goes on in his mind. He's not letting outside influence come in his mind. And that's why he's a multimillionaire. That's why he's successful like he is now. And also, and then it's the people talking about celebrity accusations and this happened, that happened. And I'm like, look, man, it could have happened. It couldn't. At the end of the day, we weren't there, so we don't know. So I'm not really putting my energy into this. All I could really focus on is what goes on in my mind. That's the only thing I could ultimately control. You could only control your kids to a certain extent. You know what I mean? People are like, well, what if your kids? I'm like, man, that's on them. What could I do? I can't control the decisions they make. All I could do is really give them the best tools, that the best knowledge that I can. And then the rest is up to them. They could do whatever they want.
That is what you have just shared is one of the most empowering tools ever. And that's recognizing where the responsibility lies.
Yeah.
It is I am responsible for me. I am not responsible for other people. And a lot of times we're so anxious, we're so worried. And especially if you're a parent, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about this person, you're worried about that person, you're worried about all these things. When the reality is, I can't change any of them.
Right.
The only person I have the power to change is me. Yep. So this is where I need to focus, right here.
Oh, it took me so long to recognize that. Because me, I'm the second oldest boy on my mom's side. I'm the oldest boy on my dad's side. And I just felt responsible for so many other people and what they're doing. And so much accountability was just put on me where I'm like worried about. But now I'm just like, look, man, I have too many kids to be worried about what grown people do. Like, I have four kids. Like, I can't worry about all of this different stuff. So it's like whatever decisions that they make, I'm gonna just give them my 2 cents on it, and then hey, that's all I got, and you go ahead and just go about your life. But as long as I tell you how I feel and I'm honest and authentic with you, whatever decision you make after that, I will not feel guilty about it at all. Like guilty for not telling you my what I think about it. You know what I mean? Because I say if you get intuition to tell somebody about something and they don't, and then something ends up happening to them, you might feel guilty. But you should not feel guilty if you warned that person, if you gave them the truth, if you gave them what was on your mind and you were authentic about it. And so I'm more so moving like that. Say I have a friend that got murdered, and a couple years ago I was talking with him about some of the things that he was involved in. So now I'm just like, hey, I gave you mine, you still want to do it, and if this thing happens, that's just the consequences of the actions that you put yourself in.
And sometimes when someone hears something like that, they think, man, that is cold-hearted. They misunderstand that worry equals love. And that if I'm worrying, that means I love this person. And if I ever stopped worrying, then that would mean that I don't love them. I don't love the word worry, and I change that. I'm concerned.
That's
But
exactly what I was about to say. I was
worry,
gonna,
yeah,
yeah.
is when I'm expecting a bad outcome. And I'm not going to worry about that. Whereas hope is expecting a positive outcome. So we have worry, we have hope, we have concern. It's just, I care. I would really love for you to be happy and to have a wonderful life. I care, but I'm not responsible for your life. Just like you said, there are times when it is appropriate to speak up and say, hey, here's what I noticed. Here's something you can do. We can invite, but I can't force.
Can't force. That is for sure. Like you could force yourself, but you cannot force others. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have learned this a long time ago. But I'm glad I learned it because I'm just so hard on myself and push myself so much with fitness, with life and accomplishments and goals and things like that, that I would think that I could apply that to like other sectors of my life. And that was completely false. It's like, Sherman, people, everybody is not like you. Everybody's not going to be as ambitious as you and do things like you do. But I thought that it was like the norm. And now that I'm older, I'm like, nah, man, some people are okay with just sitting on the couch and enjoying two movies. Like, just because you don't like doing that does not mean that it's something wrong with that person. But if that person wants to do what I do and they need my help, okay, I'll give you the tools and encourage you. But to try to guilt someone for doing what they enjoy, I'm not really about that. But I do know that's like a big tactic in the self-help world. But I'm more so like, hey, if you need me, I'm here. I'm not gonna guilt you for being who you are. I'm gonna tell you, hey, man, you might wanna think about these things. But if you don't do it, then hey, it is what it
Exactly.
is.
So what you have done is two parts. One, you show an example of what can be done, what can be accomplished. And for many people, however we grew up, that's our default setting. No matter what it is, whatever those circumstances were, that is what normal looks like. And if we don't make a conscious choice, we will naturally follow the pattern of whatever it was that we grew up in. That is our default normal setting. We don't have to do that. We don't have to repeat the past. But if we don't wake up and realize that there is another way, so your example, you're showing, hey, you can go through this background and I can have this kind of life, this kind of outcome. I can be this kind of person. And for many people, they're like, really? That's possible? No way. And then you open up their eyes to possibility. And then you can invite and say, if you would like to have something like this, here are some things that you can do. Here are some choices that you can make. Here's, and then between those two things, really, that is our power with other people. We can give an example and we can invite. And beyond that, we just can be their cheerleaders. But I can't fix anybody.
Yeah, no, that's true. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. It's been a great conversation. Because sometimes I
Thank you.
think that I'm crazy, but now I'm like, okay, it actually is a good thing. Yeah. And yeah, so when you are like, so one thing, I want you to give me a story about one of the people that you've worked with and what they went through and how you actually helped them overcome. So just to take yourself out of it for once and be like, hey, I was working with this person. They came with me with these issues. I gave them these tools. And next, they're this type of person.
Oh, what an excellent thing to be able to show, hey, this didn't just work for me. This
Right.
works for anybody. Think of somebody who's going through some hard times. So someone who has grown up with abuse and every single kind of abuse you can imagine, from just being a child and being children. Their children, one died, another one was kidnapped, taken from by the biological father and taken away, pretty much any and every kind of heartache that you can imagine. At one point, being left for dead, abandoned in the woods in a broken down truck, situations where this person was just defeated. And by following these principles, then she has been able to continue. To be able to move forward, to be able to find personal value and worth. She hasn't gotten rid of all of the demons yet. That's a process. We're only able to handle what we're ready to. But you can go from any situation and be able to improve it and to live a life that is joyful, a life that has hope, a life that has peace.
That's amazing. Now that I definitely want to commend you on you mentioning on two different occasions on this podcast that it's like going through this journey, it's like the sun rising. It's gonna take steps. It's not, okay, I went to a seminar, I am great now. Like I tell people like it takes years. And then after that, it's continuous. Like it you never really find it. You just have to continue to be the best that you can and evolve. And like you say, you mentioned the default setting, and that is like absolutely powerful because me, I'm not trying to raise my kids how I was raised, but sometimes I go back to the default setting of how I was raised, and then I have to catch myself. Then I have to apologize and I have to be like, oh, damn, man, why did you say that? Why did you do that? But then I'm going to my default setting. And I give myself a little grace for that because I'm like, it's there, but at least you're trying to do better and do the best that you can. But I just really wish that some people will just take their time when it comes to them finding themselves to therapy, to mental health, to wellness. Some people, I will never say that people will be fully healed. It's more so just like dealing with the things that happen to you in a gracefully kind of way.
There's different levels of healing, to be sure. We can cope. People can cope, but healing actually is possible. But in order to get there, we have to go beyond the conscious and be able to access the unconscious. It's to be able to reach the part of where did this come from and why. It's about becoming aware and letting go. And again, there are different levels, and we can only heal as fast as we are willing, as fast as we are able. But things that could not be healed a few decades ago, now the therapists will say, no sweat. We can absolutely handle that. PTSD in the past, that was untreatable. It was like, I'm so sorry, life sucks for you. And now it's, oh, we have EMDR. Oh, we have this. Oh, we have this. There's so many tools. There's so many ways that we can access and make things better. And I also want to address, you talked about, you know what, this is a lifelong process. That is true. But it is also true that you can expect a noticeable improvement within
Oh,
30 days. So we don't want to have people think, oh, this is hard and it's going to be a lifetime of hard. No, it can get better. And the better you get, the better and easier it will become. The hardest part is going from one habit of being super negative or super whatever and trying to turn it around. Because imagine your car, when you're turning hard, you're feeling those G's, and it's the same kind of thing. But once you're going in that straight line of positive, it's easy.
Yeah.
Easy to live joyfully every day. Excuse me.
Yeah, definitely. But you have to have the right habits to be consistent with those habits,
Oh,
you know?
right.
Yeah.
It's not just
Yeah.
pop a pill and everything is all better, and then you can just continue to live the way you live. But it's
Right.
everything that it can be as easy to live in a way that is positive and happy and joyful and authentic and successful and all of the things that whatever it is you want as it is to live whatever you're living now. It's just the switch part is hard.
And maybe I shouldn't say it's not possible to be full. The reason I'm gonna just give some context when people do say fully healed, that means that I'm like done. It's okay, I figured it out. I'm good now. And I just really don't like that approach because that's the context of it. I thought because the way I said it wasn't in the same context of what we're talking about. So when I hear people say it and the people that do say it, their context, okay, I'm done. I figured it out. And me, I'm more so, nah, you shouldn't really think like that because there's always more that you could do. There's more that you could learn. And you're going to go through new things and you have to figure out how to cope with those new things that come your way. So it's a continuous joust that you have to deal with and learn how to cope with. But you are right, though. Say there will be things that, you know, that'll be noticeable changes. Say I talked to my therapist on one occasion, and then the next occasion, she's just like, wow, you sound different. Wow, what's the why? I'm like, wow, really? I didn't notice it, but I'm glad that you do. So
Yeah.
yeah.
And when
Yeah.
you don't notice it, it's like that sunrise thing. It's, hey, I'm getting better, but I'm a little better today than yesterday, and a little better than the day before. But when someone sees you a week later or whatever, it's like, whoa, who is this guy?
Right.
So those gradual changes. And I really appreciate that clarification of what you meant by fully healed. So I get it. I get it. I'm with you now. Okay. Yeah, it is true that it's not game over until we're dead. So stuff, life happens. And so we just are ready for the next thing. But we can live joyfully, truly joyfully, where most of the time is happy with dips rather than just up and down or mostly down and below down. It doesn't have to be that way. And life's still going to happen and things are going to happen. But when we are happy, when we're resilient, when we're in a good place, they become bumps. I've heard it said it's if you can imagine. There's a problem and it's level it from 1 to 10. Okay, this problem is a five. This is a five problem. And I'm at a three. So this five problem is gonna just blow me over and I'm gonna fall apart and I'm gonna be a mess. Okay, so now I've got a five problem, but where I am is I'm at a level eight. That's where I'm at. And so this five problem is like no sweat. So as we become better, as we become stronger, our problems seem like they shrink. They didn't shrink. It's just that comparatively to where we are, we're okay.
Exactly. Because, yeah, that goes exactly to the example of when I said, if this would have happened to me a couple of years ago, I would have had a totally different reaction. That's exactly what that is. And I noticed that. I'm like, what? You really let that slide? You didn't say nothing. You didn't get aggressive. I'm like, I was very proud of myself because when I started rethinking, recollecting about the conversation and the interaction, I was like, wow, man, you really did some growth. Really did, because if you clash at me, I'm a clash right back at you. But now I'm like, this isn't worth it. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the energy. I have to really be picky about who I choose to battle. Warriors don't battle with other warriors that they feel is not worth the glory. Like, you're not gonna be looked at. You're not gonna get anything from battling something that's beneath you. You're only gonna be worth something where you're battling something that's, like you say, you're at an eight and you're battling something that's at a 10. Then you beat the 10. Now it's like, okay, now I'm at the 10. What's next? 12? All right, boom, I'm there. You know what I mean? So I'm very decisive on that now. And that's probably been one of the greatest things because there's all kind of cliche sayings that I've heard growing up. And now when I really step back and I take the time to observe them and like really think about what's being said when people say it's a small thing to a giant. Like, we have all heard that before, but what does it really mean? What is it like? Don't sweat the small stuff. If the shoe fits, wear it. Like, I just started thinking about all those cliche things, and I'm like, wow, those are very powerful. Like, why would I, as a giant, sweat small stuff? Why am I giving this my energy? Why am I giving this my time? And I'm a giant. What will this do for me if I, engage in it? And when I started thinking that like that, I'm like, wow, that was very powerful, but I never really paid attention to it. It was like people just said it, and I was like, oh wow, that sounds good. But yeah, so
Isn't
I'm
that
thinking
awesome?
of it is way more simple than what we think and what I thought.
Amazing that it's simpler than we think. Another one of these cliches that we use is I got a lot on my plate. And everybody knows what it means, even though you can't exactly describe it. There's a lot going on. And what's cool is you just gave us a tool to be able to shrink what's on our plate. We don't need to fight everything. We don't need to put everything on our plate. And when we take away the fears of the past and the fears of the future and deal with today's plate, it shrinks even further, which makes it even easier to take care of. And so I love that you brought this up. We don't have to put everything on our plate. We already talked about we don't have to worry about other people's responses. I'm going to take that right off my plate and chuck it because that does not do me any good. So we can make things easier, which is really nice when you feel overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah. What can I eliminate? What does it matter? Let's take on the big problems. Like, I'm a big fish. And that's another thing. Like, why am I entertaining this stuff? And that's very powerful. Yeah. So a lot of us should take the time to think about these cliche terms. I know I did. And it definitely helped me a lot. I'm like, it really wasn't too complicated because I'm big on self-help. So I read a lot of books and seminars and podcasts. I did it all. And now I'm just like, wow, it was a lot more simpler than what you actually thought. Like, it's just like when people like say you could read a book and they'll be like, you're responsible for your own life. You're like, huh, whatever. I heard that a lot. But now I'm like, oh, snaps. Now I get what they're saying. Now I could receive it because I'm in like a different place. Maybe I was trying to go from step one to step 10. And then I missed out on the development because I was trying to go to 10 so much that I forgot the small steps that will keep people sustainable at 10. Because you could go from 1 to 10, but then you might drop back down to 1 because you went up too fast. And now I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I understand the process. And I also mentioned this on the podcast. I was like, sometimes we just learn things that are at an advanced level and we haven't learned like the baby steps first. And that's where we get lost at. Some things have to just develop and then it's okay, right? Now I could understand this. Because like you said, why am I responsible for my life? Then you went through the brain chemicals and how you feel and dopamine, serotonin, and everything is internal and it's chemically balanced. That's a great way to explain it to people. Or listening to music. I also wanted to dig deep on the music though, because that's actually something I'm like, I hone in so much. I have so many playlists on my Spotify, right? But I have a Militant Grind playlist. It's just for when I go to the gym and work out. And I only listen to it when I go to the gym and work out because it's push, it's hard energy, it's come on, let's go. And when I go to the gym and I'm not listening to that music, my reaction is like totally different than if I was to not listen to music. I push myself harder. I'm lifting more. I'm doing the best I can. I'm pushing myself to the limit. Then when I'm done with that, I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna listen to house music or something like that to enjoy myself and get my spirits up. But I use music as a tool for what I want to do and when I want to do it. It's okay, you're trying to romanticize a woman. You're not gonna play heavy metal. You're gonna play R&B or a love song or something like that. It all goes hand in hand. And we all knew or know what music does. More than likely, we just weren't conscious of it. It's like every man knows that if you're trying to serenade a woman, you're going to put on a certain type of music. That's been going on since the 50s, since radio existed. But then it's okay, this could really also help me in other aspects of my life as well.
Yes. And isn't it crazy how easy it is? Because we have our playlists. So if we put that together, then to get all of that power, which is so incredible, all we have to do is push. We have tools and resources at our fingers that they didn't used to have. But now it's easy to access those kinds of resources. And like you say, music is so powerful at the gym, everywhere.
No, definitely. Linda, this has been a great conversation. Wow.
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, this has been great. And so if you could leave the listeners with one thing, what would you leave them with?
Oh, one thing. I guess I invite people everywhere to change the one person you have power over, and that is yourself. We can be happy. We can be joyful. I invite you to come and live a joyful life.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. And Linda, where can people find you?
My Hope for Healing nonprofit, the website is hopeforhealingfoundation.org. And like yourself, I am a podcast host. My podcast is Linda's Corner Podcast.
Wow.
So you can find that anywhere or at lindascornerpodcast.com. So I hope people will come and enjoy, like we talked about, how you can push play and there's free resources there. I have lots of free resources on my website to help people to be able to get unstuck, to be happy, and to overcome their challenges.
Wow. Wow. Laura, thank you so much for being a part of this. This has been an amazing conversation. I definitely learned a few things, and you did reinforce some things that I'm currently doing as well. And this was like a refresher course for me, you know?
Awesome. Thanks, Sherman. Awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.